It's good for us to be able to come together to worship God this evening. We're going to look this evening, beginning in reading in Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14, verse 1. It says, "And these are the inheritance which the children of Israel took in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the fathers' houses of the tribes of the children of Israel distributed unto them by the lot of their inheritance, as the Lord commanded by Moses for the 9 tribes and for the half tribe. For Moses had given the inheritance of 2 tribes and a half tribe beyond Jordan. But unto the Levites he gave no inheritance among them. For the children of Joseph were of 2 tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim, and they have no portion unto the Levites in the land, save the cities to dwell in with the suburbs thereof, for their cattle and for their substance. And the Lord commanded, as the Lord commanded Moses, so did the children of Israel did. They divided the land." Now, I read that because that kind of goes back to what we're going to talk about here in a moment. And the background of this, of course, was the people of Israel, after all the time that they had been in Egypt under bondage for about 400 years. Finally, they came out and Moses led them out, and they came up to the promised land the first time, and they wouldn't go in. We'll get into that a little bit later why. But they were forced to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. But God gave to Moses and then to Joshua the plan for how the land would be divided up when they arrived in the land. And they came out of Egypt with Moses and Caleb and Joshua. When they came to Kadesh Barnea the first time, when they should have been able to go in the promised land, Moses chose out 12 men to go in and spy out the land, bring back a report. And there were 12 that made that journey. 10 came back and said, "Well, we can't take the land. There's walled cities, and they're like giants there, and we're like grasshoppers in their side, and we can't take the land." Well, the people believed them, but they didn't believe Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb came back and said, we're able to take the land. God will give it to us. All we have to do is go in and take it." Well, the people didn't believe Joshua and Caleb. And because of that, believing the bad report, everyone in that group that came out of Egypt over the age of 20 years died in the wilderness, except Joshua and Caleb. And they were allowed to enter the promised land. So the plan was made on how to divide up the land when they got there. But then in chapter 14 of Joshua, in verse 6, it says, Then the children of Judah drew nigh to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh of the Kenizzite said unto him, "You know the thing that the Lord spoke unto Moses the man of God concerning me and concerning you in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses the servant of the Lord sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart." Now you go back to the book of Numbers, and you'll find what it talks about in the book of Numbers about this situation. Now, they came out of the land of Egypt, and most of the time many people think, well, they just wandered around for 40 years and finally they went there. Well, they didn't do that. They came almost straight from Mount Sinai all the way up to Kadesh Barnea, which is the southernmost city of what would be the land of Canaan. And they camped there, and that's where Moses sent the spies in. Well, in Numbers chapter 14 and verse 24, it says, when the spies came back, it says, "But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit within him, he had followed me fully, and I will bring him into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it." And so the only 2 people over the age of 20 They were allowed to go into the promised land. When they finally got there under Moses, was Joshua and Caleb. Even Moses himself and Aaron did not get to go into the promised land. Now look now at Numbers chapter 14 and skip down to verse 28. He says, "Say unto them, as I live, says the Lord, the Lord God, truly as you have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Your dead bodies shall fall in the wilderness, and all that were numbered of you according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, that have murmured against me, surely you shall not come into the land concerning which I swear that I would make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun." So God decreed that only Joshua and Caleb, over the age of 20, of all those thousands of people that had come out of Egypt, would enter the promised land. That was, you might think, well, that's a rather severe condemnation. And it was. But the reason God did not allow them to go into the promised land was they rejected the testimony of God, and he told them, if you'll go there, I'll be with you, and you can take the land. But they brought back another report. They didn't believe Joshua and Caleb. But notice again, it says in Joshua chapter 14 and verses 6 and 7, it says there of Caleb, and it says also in Numbers that he had another spirit. In other words, his spirit, his willingness to follow the will of God made no difference to him. He was going to do what's right, no matter what the people said, no matter what anybody's attitude was going to be. It was a different attitude. And you might notice also, Joshua was the leader of the people of Israel. Caleb was right there with him. But Caleb was not jealous of Joshua. He might have thought maybe, well, why didn't God pick me instead of Joshua to lead the people? But he didn't. He picked Joshua. And so Caleb, of course, was not only a faithful servant and a faithful leader of God's people, he was a man, as it says, he had another spirit. He had another way of understanding and a willingness to follow. There was a faith, a dedication, a courage that the others didn't have. And so Caleb was a natural leader in that way of God's people, even though he was subservient to the leadership of Joshua when Moses died and Joshua took over. And so we look then in chapter 14 again of Joshua, and we look then at verse 8. And he says, "Nevertheless," this is Caleb talking. Go back to verse 7. He says, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and brought him near and brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God." Now notice, he wasn't bragging about himself. He was simply stating the truth. He says, they brought back a bad report. Not because that what they said was not because it wasn't true. There were walled cities. There were giants in the land. It was a land flowing with milk and honey and all those things that they said. But they said, we can't do it. They forgot that God had told them to go and take the land. But Joshua and Caleb brought back the good report. So Caleb is simply reminding Joshua and others of what had been done. "Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt." In other words, people listened to the 10 that brought back the bad report. But he says, "But I wholly followed the Lord my God." You think about that. Right there is an example to you and me. If you read back in the book of Numbers, some of them even wanted to take Joshua and Caleb out and stone them to death. And stone Moses probably also and go back to Egypt. That's what some of them wanted to do. And so that's why God rejected them from entering the promised land. But again, Caleb and Joshua stood up to all of the others, just as Moses often had to do. And so God was with them. and God blessed them. Now look down now in Joshua chapter 14 and verse 9. It says, "And Moses swore on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy foot is trodden shall be an inheritance to you and to your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God." So here Moses gave the offering and then to the promise to Caleb. He gave a promise to Joshua also, who would be the leader of the people, all of them, but also made a promise to Caleb. He says, Moses swore on that day. In other words, this is what Caleb said to Joshua and to the other people. "Surely the land whereon on your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance to you and to your children forever." They had an inheritance that was waiting for them. But it wasn't going to be quite that easy, as we will see. They couldn't just walk up there and take what they wanted. They were going to have to fight for the promise that God gave to them. But Caleb, of course, was well willing to do so. And because he trusted God would deliver that inheritance to him and to his family. But why would that be? Why did Caleb and Joshua believe and the others didn't? Well, Numbers chapter 13 and verse 30 gives us a clue there. When they brought back the report, the spies did. And the ten said, "We can't do it. We're like grasshoppers on their side, and they're giants, and we can't take the land." What did Joshua and Caleb say? Numbers 13 and verse 30. They said, "Let us go up and possess the land, for we are well able to overcome it." They didn't doubt whatsoever that whatever God told them they could do, they could. And they were willing to go. And that's the kind of man Joshua was. We know a lot more about Joshua than we do about Caleb. But Caleb was one that stood by his side all of that time. All through the wilderness wandering, he was there being faithful to God. In Numbers chapter 14 and verse 8, it says, "If the Lord delight in us, he will bring us into the land." In other words, if God wants us to be there, it's going to be done. Now, you read through the book of Joshua from the very beginning, from chapter 1 all the way through, when God chose Joshua, to be the one to replace Moses. Now think about that for a moment. It had to be a very daunting task to Joshua, to replace Moses, the greatest man of his time, the prophet, the lawgiver, all of those things, the mediator between God and the Israelites. You know, Joshua may have thought, "Well, how could I possibly do that?" But God told him over and over again. He says, "Be strong and of good courage." Turn back for a moment to Joshua chapter 1. In Joshua chapter 1, he says in verse 5, he says, "There shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land which I swear unto their fathers to give to them. Only be strong and very courageous to observe, to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Turn not to it from the right to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go." And he goes on to say, "Wherever the sole of your foot hits in that land, I have given it to you." And God didn't just say, "I'm going to give it to you." He says, "I have given it." Now, when he said that to Joshua, they didn't even cross the Jordan River yet. But it was a done deal for God. All they had to do was go in, be courageous, and serve God. And God would give them the land. And that's why Joshua and Caleb were so faithful. Now turn back again to Joshua chapter 14 and verse 10. He says then, "And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive and has spoken these 45 years for the the time that the Lord spoke this word unto Moses, while Israel walked in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old, and as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so my strength is now. For war and to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this hill country whereof the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and the cities great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out as the Lord spoke. So here, Caleb came to Joshua, said, okay, we're in the promised land. We've conquered most of it by now. He says, okay, God made this promise to me. And notice, Caleb didn't ask for a huge army to go with him. He just had a few people to come with him. And he said, we'll see if God will do this. I believe that he will. And so we look at that, and it was God's promise to Caleb. And he didn't ask for an easy job to do. He didn't ask for anything that was not something he would have to work for, which he did, and fight for, which he was willing. And so he did that. And he says there, I'm 85 years old. That's 85 years old. He says, yet God is with me. My strength is as great now as it was 40 years ago when this was said. 45 years ago when this was said. And he said, God will do this for me. And so he was willing to go. Even after all that time of waiting, he waited 45 years for that promise to be given and to be promised to him and fulfilled. In Psalms chapter 46 and verse 1, Psalms chapter 46 and verse 1, King David, who lived a long time later, says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth do change, though the mountains be shaken in the heart of the seas, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains tremble with the swelling thereof. In other words, that's the kind of attitude that King David had, but it's the kind of attitude that Caleb and Joshua had in their day also. God is my refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. That ought to be the way that we think also. If we're faithful, God says, I'm going to be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you, as he told Joshua. And he repeats that over in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. If we will be faithful, God says, I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. Psalms chapter 27. Psalms chapter 27 and verse 1. He says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Now again, that was kind of attitude that Joshua and Caleb demonstrated in that time. They were not going to back down. They were faithful. You read through the book of Joshua, how Joshua led the people across the Jordan River. And as the sign to the people of Israel that God was with him, when the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant on poles on their shoulders, when their feet touched the water of the Jordan River, the water was divided, and they went across on dry land. And they did that, and God did that as a sign that he was with them to deliver the land into their hand. And then, of course, you read about the conquering of Jericho, that God told them to go and march around the city, so one time each day for 7 days. And then the seventh day, march around it 7 times. The priests were to blow the trumpets, the people were to shout. And he said, the walls will fall down. And that's not much of a military strategy from a human standpoint. And yet, exactly as God said, it was done. And they conquered the city of Jericho because of that. Well, here, Caleb was there with them when that happened. And so we find again, Psalms 27, verse 1, the Lord is my strength and my life. And so we have to follow that But now look at chapter 14 and verse 13. Or chapter 14, verse 12. He says, "Now therefore, give me this hill country, whereof the Lord spoke in that day. For you have heard that how that the Anakim," or the, some translations say giants, "were there, and the cities great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out as the Lord spoke." Now, if I understand correctly, Goliath in the days of King David was a descendant of some of these people. And they were much taller and greater, more powerful people than some of the others. But notice, Caleb didn't say, "Okay, give me the easiest part and I'll just go in and take it." No, he wanted to go where the giants were. He wanted to go where there'd be the most opposition, because he believed that God would deliver it. Verse 13, "And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. And therefore Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord, the God of Israel." There's the whole thing about it. Joshua, blessed as the great leader of the people of Israel at the time, blessed Caleb, said him, gave him his blessing. He says, "Go, you take that. That's for you that God has promised." And he went and took that particular place. Again, like I said, he didn't want the easy part. He wanted the most difficult part, where the giants were in charge. And he came up there. He defeated them, not because of how great and powerful he was, but because God delivered them into his hand. Caleb is a definition of a faithful follower. Now, sometimes we talk about leadership of many of the people in the Bible. And there were great leaders, Moses, and many others were also. But Caleb was a great follower. Now, when the time came, and he led the ones who were with him to take that part of the land, they went because of their faith and because of his example. All cannot be great leaders. You think about that. Sometimes we think that the leader is the most important person, but not necessarily. Jesus himself told his disciples, when they argued over who had been the greatest in the kingdom, he said, "The greatest one is not the one standing up in front of everybody else." He says, "The greatest is the one that's the servant to all the others." So sometimes the way we look at things is not always the right way. All cannot be great leaders. But, for example, who remembers the Apostle Andrew? Now, we know his name. We know he was an apostle of Christ, but we don't know much of what he did. There's hardly anything in the four Gospels or the book of Acts that says anything more than just mentioning his name. But what do we remember about Andrew? When Jesus called him, the first thing he did was go back and call his brother to come and follow. Who was his brother? His brother was Simon Peter. Now, we know who the Apostle Peter was. He became one of the leaders of the apostles, the one to preach the first gospel sermon to the whole people on the day of Pentecost. And about half the book of Acts is written about the work of the Apostle Peter. But he was brought to Christ by one kind of insignificant kind of brother. Now, he was an apostle of Christ, and we give him that. But he was not the leader that his brother would become. And so sometimes it takes just ordinary things and ordinary people to lead for God's people. And Caleb was that kind of man. We think then, like in John chapter 2 and verse 40. It says, "And one of the two that heard John speak," this is John the Baptist, "said, followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And he found his own brother Simon and said to him, 'We have found the Messiah,' which is being interpreted Christ." So when Andrew followed Jesus, he left hearing John the Baptist and followed Jesus. And he went to his brother. Says, "We have found the Christ, the Messiah." That's what they had been waiting for all the way back from the time of Moses. The whole law of Moses looked forward to the coming of Christ. the whole Old Testament, all the way back to the Garden of Eden, looked forward to the coming of Christ. And Andrew is the one that told the Apostle Peter, as he would later become, he said, "This is the one. This we have seen and met the Messiah, the Christ." In Joshua chapter 14 and verse 14, he says, "Therefore, Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because he wholly followed the God of Israel." Holy, that's W-H-O-L-L-Y. You know, in other words, completely. There was nothing that he held back in his service to God. He followed God completely, and God blessed him. In verse 15, it says then, "Now the name of Hebron was before time Kiriath Arba, which Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim." In other words, it was named after this giant who was the greatest man among them. And the land had rest from war. So this is basically the end of the main conquering of the land when Caleb went there. But notice again, he did exactly what God commanded. Now then we need to look at ourselves. That's the point of looking at people like Caleb or Joshua. What about you and me? Are we wholly, completely following the Lord? That's a decision you and I have to make every day, to serve God or not. If we do that, we're going to be blessed for all of eternity. If we don't, and we fall short, and we don't want to give that much, then we're not going to make it to the end. But God said He will be with us all of the way. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, Paul said, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." Present our bodies. That's what we present to Him every day we live. This evening, if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, that invitation is given because Jesus Christ invites us. He says, "Come to me and I will give you rest." If you need to come, won't you do so as we stand and sing?